Welcome to Results Driven with Kurt High from High Value Consulting. Planning for your financial future means navigating challenges like market volatility, inflation, and retirement income. Results Driven is here to help by addressing common financial concerns, sharing valuable strategies, and exploring ways you can work toward your financial goals. Now, let's get started with Results Driven.
Good morning and welcome to Results Driven. My name is Kurt J. High from my company, High Value Consulting. If you'd like more information about what you hear during our show today, please give us a call at 484-431-2874. Or you may visit us online at my new and improved website, highvalueconsulting.org. And while at my website, click on the radio page to check out previous shows and subscribe to our programs on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Amazon Music. There are certain topics that we get emotional pretty quickly, and money between parents and children is definitely one of them. The reality is some financial and end-of-life decisions don't just affect you. They can have an everlasting impact on your family. And in some cases, these decisions can create confusion, tension, or even resentment down the road. One idea that tends to come up in these conversations is pretty simple: avoid surprises. Because what many families want most isn't perfection, it's clarity. Knowing what's coming, understanding the plan, and not being caught off guard later on in life. Today, we're going to walk through a handful of financial missteps that can create challenges for the next generation, and just importantly, how these situations can also be handled more thoughtfully with a little planning. So let me bring in my co-host this morning, Jacqueline Gladhill, who's always helps these conversations stay grounded. Good morning, Jacqueline.
Well, good morning, Kurt, and thank you for that. You know, this topic's going to be pretty fun, pretty, you know, intense. I feel like money is just one of those things that you're brought up talking about with your family, or it's never talked about. I mean, Kurt, when you were growing up, was money something that you guys talked about in the house or not?
No.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? I mean, I come from a family, like I don't know what my parents ever made. I'll never know that. But we did talk about money. You know, we talked about, I don't know, just the future stuff, sitting down at a kitchen table. I don't know. So it's just so interesting to hear different perspectives on that. But Kurt, how are you doing? Are you doing anything fun this week or any exciting news coming up? And I know that you've talked about the rainy weather there and how you're missing Florida.
Yeah, well, yeah, like I said, the weather's been very unpredictable here in Pennsylvania. We're just, you know, buckled down and getting a lot of incompletes taken care of that we left open when we left. And we have to wrap up some closure with the builders. And hopefully that'll get done this week. We'll be glad when that's behind us. And then we're looking forward to the nice weather. We have some trips up and coming, one in Memorial Day, one in June. And we're excited about them as well.
It's super exciting. Yeah, I am going to Arizona this week. So I'm going to go enjoy the nice sunshine and the heat down there. I'm just going to visit some friends. And I'm excited to just take a break from things. You know, once in a while, I think all of our listeners, everyone, you need a break. You know, just taking some time, going to visit friends. You know, Kurt, you going to Florida and enjoying time there. The warm weather, man. I need that sunshine. I need that sun back and that blonde hair back.
We need that vitamin C and vitamin D, they call it. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, you're absolutely right about this topic today, Kurt. And this is just one of those topics that people don't always love to talk about, like we just said, but it does come up more often than you'd think. A lot of people assume everything will just sort of work itself out. But when there's a lack of communication or planning, that's usually when families run into trouble. And I know several families, you know, that lack of communication can really get to them. So where would you like to begin with this one?
During today's conversation, we'll be using a recent AARP article that headlined 5 financial mistakes that will make your kids hate you. Oh my goodness. And yes, I recognize that's pretty in your face headline, but this article raises some details that are worth exploring. Let's start with one of the more common issues, and that's not having an estate plan in place. And it's like 7 out of 10 don't, and that's sad. When someone passes away without a will, what's known as dying intestate, the process of selling the estate can become more complicated, time-consuming for the family. Even relatively small amounts still need to be addressed. That responsibility often falls to the loved ones during an already difficult time. A well-structured estate plan constructed with the help of your attorney or your financial service professional can help you provide clarity around how the assets are distributed, who is responsible for handling those decisions. It can also outline important roles like who will serve as the executor of the estate, who would step into the power of attorney if needed. Making these decisions ahead of time and communicating them clearly can go a long way toward reducing any confusion that would develop later on.
Yeah, Kurt, that's a great point. And that's one of those areas where people tend to put it off or assume that they don't really need anything formal in place. I mean, it's kind of a morbid topic. No one really wants to talk about it. And you don't want to accept that that will be the case one day. But like you said, Kurt, even if the estate isn't large, there are still details that have to be handled. And if nothing's been documented, that can leave family members trying to scramble and figure things out on the fly, which they're going to be in crisis mode. They will be grieving. That is not a time to try to figure out all this documentation and detail.
Yeah, another area that can create challenges over time, Jacqueline, is the lack of communication around finances. In a lot of cases, it's not just financial decisions themselves. It's the uncertainty that goes along or comes with it. When expectations aren't clear, it can lead to confusion or assumptions that may not reflect what is actually intended. Having open conversations ahead of time can help set those expectations. That might include how assets are structured, whether leaving an inheritance as part of a plan, or other priorities that take the lead.
Yeah, and that makes sense because I think a lot of people assume that their intentions are obvious, even if they've never really said them out loud.
That's usually where the disconnect happens. For some households, the focus may be on enjoying retirement, using those resources during their lifetime. For others, leaving something behind is an important goal. There isn't a single right approach, but communication or communicating these intentions early can help avoid misunderstandings later on. And it can also be helpful to think about how and when those conversations happen. Choosing a time that allows for a thoughtful discussion, giving family members the opportunity to ask questions, can make these conversations more productive. And from a practical standpoint, making sure important information is organized, accessible, can make a big difference. Things like account details, key documents, where those items are stored kept private. Having that information clearly laid out to help reduce stress when these details ever are needed.
I mean, it's about whether people feel like they're in the dark. And we just talked about it. I mean, some families have those conversations and they're, you know, open about it. Others, it feels pretty uncomfortable. Or maybe some families are not sure how to bring up these conversations, and so they just avoid them altogether. But like you said, when nothing gets discussed, people tend to fill in the blanks on their own, make assumptions. And so how do you usually suggest people start with that conversation without it feeling overwhelming? I mean, is it at a dinner table? Is it at a holiday?
That's a great question, because starting the conversation is usually the hardest part, and finding that perfect, or maybe not so perfect, setting is not easy. In many cases, it begins with keeping things simple and focusing on clarity rather than to try to cover everything at once. Letting your family know that you put some planning in place can open the door without making it feel very overwhelming. From there, you can become more of an ongoing conversation rather than a single high-pressure moment.
And that approach alone probably makes it just a lot easier to just begin, because it does take some of the pressure out of it.
Right, and it doesn't have to be one big conversation. Now, another situation that can be difficult for families, but doesn't always get talked about, is what happens after someone experiences fraud. Financial scams have become more common, and they often involve very sophisticated tactics. In some cases, individuals may not even realize what's happened until after the fact. When that does happen, there can be a tendency to stay quiet about it. Sometimes that comes from embarrassment or simply not wanting to worry others. But when the information comes out later, it can create confusion or strain within the family. Having an open conversation about what happens and taking steps to address it can help keep everyone on the same page and focus on what to do next. There are also resources available for people who find themselves in that situation. Reporting the incident and speaking with trained professionals can be an important part toward resolving the issue and helping prevent future problems.
Well, that feels like a tough one because there's a real human side to it. No one wants to admit that they've been taken advantage of, especially when these scams can be so convincing. But like you said, keeping it quiet can sometimes make things more complicated later if you're not sharing about it. I mean, when something like this does happen, what are some of the first steps people can take to start getting things back on track or maybe opening up to their family?
That's an important question because the first steps after something like that can really shape what happens next. In many cases, it starts with documenting what took place, reaching out to the appropriate institutions, whether that's a bank, credit card company, or another financial provider. From there, reporting the situation, getting guidance from trained professionals can help create a solid path forward. Just as important, though, is bringing a trusted family member into the conversation. Having another set of eyes and ears involved can make it easier to navigate what can be a very stressful situation in and of itself.
Yes. And that piece stands out because I could see someone wanting to handle it quietly, but involving another person probably changes how manageable it feels.
It often does, especially in a situation that can feel overwhelming. Now, another area that can create long-term challenges is underestimating what retirement may actually cost. One of the key factors here is longevity. People are living longer, and that can make it more difficult to predict how far retirement savings need to go. When that gets underestimated, it can put pressure on a plan later in life. A thoughtful approach often includes building in a longer time horizon and accounting for expenses that may increase over time, especially when it comes to healthcare expenses. Healthcare costs in particular can be a significant part of the equation, even for individuals who are relatively healthy at retirement. Out-of-pocket expenses can add up over the years. Planning for those costs ahead of time can help reduce the likelihood of unexpected financial strain later on in life. Another detail that sometimes gets overlooked is keeping beneficiary designations up to date. And that's why I always do an annual review with my clients, including beneficiary reviews. Assets like retirement accounts, insurance policies, typically pass on to the named beneficiary, not what's written in a will. So after major life crisis or events, reviewing these designations can help ensure and aligns everything with your current intentions.
Well, that's a great reminder, Kurt, because I think a lot of people assume once they've created a will, everything's covered. But like you're saying, there are other moving parts that can override that if they're not kept current. I mean, we're talking about beneficiaries, they can override or trump a will and a trust. And it's so important that you get those beneficiaries in line. And we've had episodes about that as well. So please go check out our Spotify, Amazon, or Apple Music to check out that beneficiary episode. But Kurt, let's take a quick pause. And before we keep going with today's conversation, please let our listeners know how they can schedule a complimentary consultation to ask questions or to get more information with beneficiaries, will, powers of attorney, all of this.
Yes, Jacqueline, could you give us a call at 484-431-2874 or visit us online at my new and improved website, highvalueconsulting.org. Scheduling a consultation only takes a few minutes, and we're happy to work around your schedule.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Kurt. And when it comes to retirement planning, where do you usually see people misjudge things the most? Just from your experience, Kurt.
That's a great question, because the one area where small assumptions can lead to bigger issues later on. Another situation can create tension within families is how assets are divided. In some cases, the way an estate is structured can come as a surprise, and that's often where misunderstandings begin. An estate plan is meant to provide clarity and direction, but if expectations aren't aligned ahead of time, it can create challenges during an already emotional period.
Yes, and that's where emotions can run pretty high, especially if something feels unexpected or unclear.
Jacqueline, you nailed it. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean everything has to be divided equally. Every family is different, and what makes sense in one situation may not make sense in another. In some cases, different assets may carry different value to different people. One person may have a strong attachment to a home or a specific item that has sentimental attachment, while others, someone else may prefer something more flexible, like cash or a financial asset.
That actually makes a lot of sense, because, you know, equal and fair don't always mean the same thing. Kurt, from your experience, maybe with your parents or other family members, what was your thing that you wanted, or the specific item that held emotional value for you?
Actually, my grandmother's kitchen table that my mother inherited.
Yeah.
I still have it here today. It's over 100 years old. And I used to sit at it when I was, I think, I don't know, 8 or 9 years old, and used to help make toast on it. And mm-hmm. It was a burn mark where I burned from the toaster. So that, yeah, that's probably the only thing that I could say that I'd say, you know, that is sentimental attachment, and I'm not letting that go. I had people wanted to buy it and all kinds of stuff. I said, no, it's going to keep that till, I'm
yeah,
no
that's
here.
Your one
so
thing.
So let's put it that way. So, yeah.
I get that. I mean, I completely get it.
Having these conversations ahead of time and understanding what matters to each person can help shape a plan that feels more thoughtful and intentional. When people feel heard, it can go a long way towards reducing the chances of conflict later on.
Yes. Well, Kurt, you mentioned financial scams earlier in the show, and because that's such an important topic for many of our listeners, like I said, even I catch myself almost falling for some of them. Can you spend the rest of today's episode going into more detail on that subject and maybe what to look for, maybe what to avoid?
That's a terrific idea. Let's do it. Huntington Bank has an article with the headline, Outsmarting Fraud. 5 effective ways to protect your wealth that I think should help us fuel an informative conversation before we sign off today. So let's talk about what actually looks like in practice. One of the most basic but often overlooked starting points is password management. It sounds simple, but weak or reused passwords are one of the most common ways cyber criminals, never thought I'd have to say that word, can access your financial accounts. Using strong, unique passwords, enabling multi-factor authentication, which is an extra step where you can confirm your identity through a text or an app, can go a long way towards keeping accounts secure.
Yes, and changing the passwords, unique passwords for each account, not just a unique password that you use for everything. And that's one of those things that feels like a small detail, but the consequences of ignoring it can be pretty significant.
Jacqueline, exactly. The next one is closely related, which is being cautious about what you click on. Phishing emails and text messages have been increasingly convincing. Again, cyber criminals may pose as a financial institution, a realtor, or even someone offering an investment opportunity. So one wrong click could expose sensitive information. A good rule of thumb is to avoid clicking on unexpected links or attachments, to be especially cautious when using public Wi-Fi networks. If you need to access financial accounts while traveling, use a VPN or virtual private network. Could help you protect your connection.
Well, and that investment opportunity angle is a little alarming, Kurt, because those pitches can sound really legitimate on the surface.
They can. That's part of what makes them effective. Working with a financial service professional can also help in those situations, because having someone in your corner makes it easier to identify red flags, ignore unsolicited pitches. Now, another area worth paying attention to is monitoring financial accounts regularly and setting up real-time alerts, notifications sent directly to your phone or email. For unusual activity or transactions can help catch potential issues early. And it's worth noting, while accounts like 401ks and pension plans generally carry certain protections, a level of protection for your IRA can be very depending on state laws. That's one more reason to stay actively engaged in how accounts are structured and monitored.
So it's not just about protecting what's coming in, Kurt, but keeping an eye on what's already there.
That's a good way to put it, Jacqueline. The fourth area the article highlights is real estate scams. The one that may surprise some listeners, according to FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center, real estate-related fraud resulted in over $145 million in losses in 2023. A common tactic involves sending fake messages that appear to be common from a trusted party, like a realtor, attorney, or banker, with instructions to wire funds and change payment details.
Well, that's a significant number, Kurt, and it sounds like those scams could happen to almost anyone going through a real estate transaction.
They could, and it's the best protection is simple due diligence. Always verify payment instructions directly with your agent, your financial institution, before acting, especially when large sums are involved. And the fifth strategy involves trusts, when you can be a meaningfully tool for protecting assets beyond just estate planning purposes. From a cybersecurity standpoint, a trust can help keep personal details like where you live, the value of your home, easily accessible through public records. Cyber criminals sometimes use publicly available information, such as property records, other searchable public data, to identify financial targets. So reducing that exposure could be worthwhile consideration for some families.
And that's a connection I don't think most people make, Kurt. They think of trusts in terms of inheritance, not necessarily as a layer of financial security.
Yes, Jacqueline. And like most planning tools, the right approach really depends on individual circumstances. Working with an estate planning professional like myself is the best way to determine whether the kind of structure makes sense to you and your family. The bigger takeaway from all this is protecting your wealth isn't just about managing a portfolio. It's also about protecting your identity, your accounts, and your digital presence. Taking some of these steps proactively could go a long way towards keeping your financial plan safe and secure and on track.
Great way to put it, and great way to frame it, because it ties directly back to everything that we talked about earlier in the show. You know, estate planning, family communication, fraud awareness, it truly all connects within each other. And, you know, Kurt, you mentioned some words today like cyber criminals and what was the other one? You know, your digital footprint. These are words that I never thought we would bring into an episode.
Yeah, exactly right. I never even thought of these words would exist someday, but here we are.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it's so interesting to hear and to talk about these topics, because money decisions don't just affect you. You know, they can have a lasting impact on your family, and a lack of planning or communication is often where those challenges begin. I will say, from my experience, you know, I grew up talking about money. We talked about at the kitchen table, you know, how much money do you have for school? How much money do you have for lunch? All those things. Are you making money? And my fiance, who I'm marrying into, they never talked about money. It was never a thing. They never established, you know, where it came from, how much to save. And it's just so interesting that now, you know, I'm the saver. He's a spender. So do you think that relates, Kurt?
You know, that's not uncommon, because a lot of couples that come into my office, there's always one that wants to keep money under the mattress, which would be the saver, and the other one wants to go to Vegas. So it's a good analogy, and it's more true to fair. And but it gets back down to having the open communication. Communication is really paramount in all your estate planning, financial planning, and you're also your healthcare planning. All those are very, very important to communicate with your loved ones and your trusted advisors. So in other words, mm-hmm. so everybody's all on the same page and making sure that everybody feels comfortable in that process, because not everybody's built for it either. That's one of the things I always stress with my clients is before you anoint somebody to be power of attorney or executor, you got to make sure they're built for it, because not everybody is.
Yes.
And having those conversations in the beginning are really key.
Yes. And I would say, you know, from my own experience too, having those conversations with your siblings or from a parent's perspective, you know, having conversations with each of the, you know, each of your children are so important, because essentially, you know, I know I have one brother, Kurt, and I know that I will be the caregiver. I mean, let's be honest. I love him. He's a great person. He will do the finances of the world. I will do the caregiving. And, you know, just talking about it as siblings, you know, and how is that going to work? What do we want? Because we do not want to argue. How many times do you hear about stories of, you know, families getting into these arguments and having long lasting strain on their relationships?
Well, you do more so than not. And again, it's that's why having these conversations way in advance helps clear the air or find out who's actually should be on the team and who shouldn't. Mm-hmm. And you know what? There's sometimes, and almost all times, I recommend you got to remove emotions from it and say, listen, this is what I want. These are my wishes, and make sure everybody's on the same page with what you want to leave a legacy or what you're going to leave in an estate plan.
Yes, absolutely. And last thing, Kurt, is have you heard of any of your clients or maybe stories of people falling for those phishing scams or those, you know, from those scams from the cyber criminals? We'll say that word one more time.
Yes, I have. And it's sad to say that they mostly tell me after they've been burned. They've never like called and say, hey, can you help me with this? I'm caught between a rock and a hard place here, because a lot of it puts people between a rock and a hard place. And they think that they're being threatened that they owe money, or they got to, you know, wire the money immediately to save for whatever that reason is that the cyber criminals have worked up in their plan. But yeah, I have. And it's sad, but it's mostly senior citizens. It's mostly people that have, you know, the resources, and that they sometimes just give it up. And mm-hmm. it's sad, but true.
Yeah. Because, you know, just remember, you are targeted for a reason. So, Kurt, before we wrap up today, can you remind our listeners how they can get in touch with you?
Yeah, they can give us a call at my direct dial at 484-431-2874. Give us a reach out on our online to our new and approved Lucid Media website, highvalueconsulting.org, to schedule a complimentary consultation. We offer a estate guru in my office as well to update their wills, power of attorneys, and DNRs. So, yes.
Well, thank you so much, Kurt. And thank you for everyone who joined us today. These are the important conversations, and we're glad you're having them. So that does it for this episode of Results Driven with our host, Kurt J. Hyde.
Thank you for joining us for Results Driven. Don't head into retirement without a plan for both your finances and your health. For more information, contact Kurt Hyde at High Value Consulting at 484-431-2874 or visit highvalueconsulting.org. Join us again soon for another episode of Results Driven.
Investment advisory services are offered through Virtue Capital Management, an SEC-registered investment advisor. High Value Consulting and VCM are independent of each other.
All matters discussed during the show are for informational purposes only. Each individual situation may vary, and the opinions expressed here may not apply to everyone. Materials presented are believed to be from reliable sources, and no representations can be made as to its accuracy. All ideas and information should be discussed in detail with one of our qualified representatives prior to implementation. Calling this number will direct you to a licensed sales agent.